Did you know that poor sleep can increase your risk for depression and anxiety by up to 17 times? It can impair your memory and decision-making, and it can make you 20% more likely to suffer heart disease or stroke, and even contribute to obesity and type 2 diabetes. You're listening to the Learn It All podcast, the podcast where great leaders aren't born or made. They are constantly in the making. I'm your host, Damon Lemby. I'm also the CEO of Learn It, a live learning platform that has upskilled over 2 million individuals over the past 3 decades. Today's episode is part 2 of a 5-part series on workplace wellness. Our episode 1 was on physical activity. Today's episode is on sleep. Episode 3 will be on changing your mindset. Episode 4 is on healthy eating. And finally, we're going to have an episode on the importance of accountability and even accountability coach. I'm joined for our entire series with Bindi Delaney. Bindi's awesome. She's been in the health and wellness, health and fitness space for over 15 years. Bindi has participated in an Ironman triathlon. She's been a personal trainer, a health coach, and she's even taught and coached others, educated them on how to be a health coach and personal trainer. And today, Bindi is going to share with us the 5 project management secrets and techniques of better sleep. Bindi, welcome to the show.
Hi, Damon. Thanks so much for having me back. I'm excited to be here today and talk about how we can all sleep better. But first, before we sort of get into those tips, and you're probably all wondering the project management tips of sleeping, but I wanted to talk a little bit about sleep because it's something that is so forgotten sometimes, right? We kind of put sleep on the back bench, right? And I can't talk very well because I have a toddler and I have not really slept well for 2 years. So my story is not a good one. But everybody actually has sleep challenges. And it's normal for you to have a sleep disturbance, whether it's not getting to sleep or not staying asleep or waking up. It's actually normal every 3 to 5 days to have some kind of sleep challenge. But sleeping poorly, like every now and then, is pretty normal. But some of us do have those sort of sleep woes that go on and on and on and on, you know, whether it's overactive mind at night, toddlers and pets in your bed, right? There's so many things that do challenge our sleep. What about yourself? Are you a good sleeper? How do you feel with sleep?
Well, great question. First of all, I understand how important sleep is, and I've struggled with it big time. One thing that's really helped me, and I'm happy to share this, is I got on a CPAP about 6 months ago. I was diagnosed with sleep apnea, and I avoided it for such a long time. But once I got on it, and once I was able to learn how to use it, it's incredibly helped my sleep. So that's a positive. For me, the challenge is that, yes, I have a wife who's a light sleeper, you know, so she wakes up easy. I've got young kids running around, and also an elderly dog. So it's sleep is intermittent, unfortunately, but I'm trying to get better. How about you?
Yeah. You've heard, my toddler is my main problem. I need to teach him to be a better sleeper so I can get some sleep. But I'm similar to your wife. I'm a really light sleeper. I have to wear earplugs every night. I think I've worn earplugs for the past 20 plus years. Any noise disturbs me. And then once I'm awake, then the mind starts. And then I'm planning and I'm listing and I'm worrying and I'm, right, you name it, the mind is going into overactive drive. So the thing with sleep is that you really have to sort of dive deep into uncovering what might be going on for you, because there's lots of things happening that might be challenging your sleep. It could be something as simple as like turning the lights darker and using blackout curtains, or it could go even more challenging. Like you said, with sleep apnea and a diagnosis and a process in place. So there's lots of different ways that sleep can go, but you're probably asking, well, how does project management work in with that, right? Mm-hmm. So let me give you an example. The point of project management is to plan, to manage the project, right, successfully, and to complete your goals and deliverables. Right, you identify and you manage different risks, different resources, and even stakeholders. So if you think about project management and you think, okay, well, one of the tips might be we've got to focus on one task at a time. Right, that's a really good tip for sleep challenges. Right, if you try to change too many things at once, it's going to be challenging. right? You've probably all heard, no devices before bed. Start dimming your lights, right? Get an eye mask, make it dark out, make the temperature cool. If you start going too much at once, it becomes too much to change. And so you got to focus in on one thing. Try one thing first and one change first. So that's the first one.
What's a low-hanging fruit you'd recommend for our listeners and me to try?
Sure. Well, that would be number two, which is identify your peak productivity hours, right? So in a project, you should be identifying where are you most productive. So for yourself, you should actually, first step, identify when you're having your best sleep and start your wind down if you can before then. So for example, my mother-in-law always tells me, I always fall on asleep on the couch at 8 p.m. I'm like, well, when are you going to bed? Just not 8 p.m. Like, okay, well, maybe your body's trying to tell you, right? 8 p.m. is my sleep time, and maybe just try it out. Right? Do it multiple times, see what you can do about winding down before 8 p.m. and maybe try, like for her, going to bed a little bit earlier because her body's telling her that that's her sleep productivity time, right? That that's when she needs to go to sleep. So yeah, I think just having that the understanding of when are you getting the best sleep in the night, doing a quick glance at the clock and trying to work out what are those good hours and really trying to focus in on promoting that time, right? And extending that time.
I don't have an Apple Watch or anything like that, but if somebody does have an app or something like that, does that help you understand when you're in, again, I'm not very technical on this, but when you're in REM sleep, or something like that?
Yeah, so the sleep apps and Apple Watches and other, other types of sleep devices are really good at leveraging, that understanding of your sleep patterns. I'm the same. I haven't actually used technology before, but if you have access to that, then that really can give you more of an understanding. For myself, I more just listen to my body and sort of think about, okay, if you really are starting to get tired at a certain time of night, kind of checking in on that pattern. And then I like to see too, like what times am I waking up in the night? Am I always waking up at 2 or am I always waking up at 4? And kind of just noticing that pattern as well. So just trying to understand where are my sleep disturbances happening throughout the night. And that kind of leads into one of the other project management tips, right? You've geared it up here is, can you leverage any technology, right? And if you are doing project management, you might be leveraging technology that's helping you set reminders for routines, right? That could be something that you could even do without sleep technology that's watching your sleep all night, right? It could be something as simple as a routine of setting a reminder to start doing something that you want to do, like dimming the lights, or you've all heard getting off your devices at least an hour before bed, right? So using maybe a technology app or maybe even just the alarm setting to start kicking you off in that direction.
Interesting. What do you personally do?
For myself, I try to get off devices. That's my main one. I think that's the trickiest one for most people because we use TV and television as a wind down at the end of the night, or we're maybe still checking things on our phones. So for myself, I do have an alarm to try and check in on turning those things off and trying to switch it out with some other kind of activity, whether it's reading a book or even just sitting on the couch and listening to music so that I don't have that backlit screen is something that I like to try.
Yeah. And I've heard, again, I don't know the study behind this, but blue light is really bad, right? When it comes to going to sleep, doesn't that disrupt your sleep?
Yeah. So really blue light and any kind of light, if you have quite bright lights in your room, in your kitchen or in your lounge room, bright lights coming out of the television as well, all of that interrupts your sleep cycle. And it stops the hormone balance that your body's trying to do. So your body is always trying to balance this sort of melatonin production, which is that hormone trying to put you to sleep. And then the cortisol production, which is the hormone trying to wake you back up, right? So your body's trying to balance this. And when we use artificial lighting late at night, our body gets a little bit confused on, when is the right time to start pushing that melatonin in our bodies. It's naturally occurring, which is another tip that comes up in project management, right? Is minimizing distractions during complex tasks. If you're project managing and you've got, you know, lots of distractions going on, you got to turn those things off so you can really focus in on something complex. So you can kind of use that into sleep too. And that's a super easy one, right? If you're starting to wind down, can you do a setting on your phone or anything that's starting to like ping and get you back in into those lights and into those, you know, the cell phones and the tablets and all of that, that then does have the backlight. So trying to minimize those distractions, just like you would in a work day when you're trying to do something really challenging.
Interesting. And what is tip number five?
Number five is, let's say in project management, you are blocking off your schedule, right? Or you're doing some kind of scheduling. And to me, that's the scheduling piece, right? You might ask me, like, well, how could a schedule help? You said you have kids. When you started teaching them how to sleep, what was that kind of plan? Like, what did you do in terms of trying to teach them how to sleep?
Well, we're still like, my kids are 6 and 3. My 6-year-old is actually fantastic with this, but my 3-year-old is a nightmare when it comes to trying to get him to sleep. But essentially what we try to do is we set up a routine, get into the bedroom at about 7:30, 7:15. And then the routine is, we're going to read 2 books. You know, we're going to brush your teeth first and all that. We're going to read 2 books. And after we read 2 books, the lights are going to go out. Mommy or daddy are going to lay in the room with them for 15 minutes and then move on. And that's that, you know, door closes and that's that.
Yeah. And that's great. And what the main thing in there is that you have some kind of a schedule, right? Like you've got a time anchoring in there. You're like, okay, 7:30. And then we're going to do this for, you know, this amount of time and 15 minutes for that. And that's one really important thing for sleep, is anchoring a schedule. And it's waking at the same time and going to bed at the same time. And that's tend to be what we try to teach our children, right? Bedtime is 7:30. Maybe as they get older, bedtime is 8 o'clock, right? Every now and then it slides, but what we're trying to teach them is anchoring that sleep schedule. But we all sort of forget about that. We don't sort of look and go, okay, well, my bedtime's 9 p.m. and I'm going to get up at 5, right? We kind of forget to do that for ourselves. But if you can anchor your sleep with a schedule, so making it that you do wake up at the same time every day and you do try to go to bed at the same time every night, you're giving your body the best chance to follow its own natural cycle. And you have to do it lots of times, right? You can't just do it once and go, oh, no, Bindi, the tip didn't work. You have to go on that schedule for, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and actually let your body get used to that. And it's the sort of thing, like I remember when I was doing some training for the Ironman and I'd be getting up every morning really early. And after months of doing that, even if I wasn't training, my body would still wake me up at that time, right? Because it's in that schedule of sleep.
Absolutely.
So that is a huge one, to see how you can try and anchor that natural sleep clock and follow the tips that we're trying to teach our children with their schedules as well.
That's very interesting. Now, how do you handle it? This is kind of a curveball for you, but like with me, my partner is a night owl. So for me, I get up early and I go to bed early. I typically get up at 5:30 and I want to go to bed by 9. What do you do if your partner is on an opposite schedule from you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think for opposite partner schedules, you have to sort of find a middle ground where you're both not jeopardizing your sleep to a really large degree, right? Is there a time where you can still go to bed early, but then you schedule, right, those times when you're like, okay, this is the 1 day a week, the 2 days, however many days where I will stay up later, but chances are you'll still wake up early, right? Your schedule will still stay the same, but it will just be about trying to compromise and find a good place where you can both be on a schedule that works for your sleep without jeopardizing each other's.
That's a good point. Really good point. Another question for you before we wrap up.
Yeah.
What do you do? And this happens to me often. Let's say you go to sleep and maybe even an hour earlier than usual, or you just go to sleep and then you wake up in the middle of the night. Let's say you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you lay there. And your mind starts speeding up. And now 3 o'clock turns into 3:30. My question is, do you continue to lay there or do you get, what do you do?
Yeah. So this one's going to be different for everybody, right? A tip that was given to me a long time ago is the first thing that you need to do is not worry about it, right? Not fret about it. Because the more you lie there going, it's 3, it's 3:30, now it's 4, you actually are making it harder for yourself to drift back to sleep. That has always helped me a lot, that I can kind of change that mindset and go, okay, I'm awake. That's okay. I'm going to be awake. I'll probably fall back asleep. I'm not going to worry. And then I either choose to get up and do something. If I feel like I'm really awake, then I might get up and do something. I might do some reading, or I might listen to something. Or I might choose to try and do something that's more sleep inducive. So I have different podcasts. There's some great ones out there that'll lull you back to sleep. Or I have sleep meditations. Or one of my favorite ones is counting backwards from 54. or there's breathing techniques, right? So you might choose something that's sort of sleep inducive, or you might just decide to get up and do something around the house for a little bit and then sort of go back and start again. But number one, don't worry about it. That's the big tip. If you fret over it, it's going to start making you worry more. And then chances are you mightn't go back to sleep at all if you start to worry about it.
I think that's a great, great way to look at it. Don't get stressed over it. Otherwise, it's going to make your mind move even quicker and it's not going to help.
Exactly. And I think we know that sleep deprivation is really bad over the long haul. But if you have a big project that next day or a big meeting and you didn't get all the sleep that you wanted, chances are it's still going to be okay. And that's normally what I tell myself. It's still going to be okay. If I was awake for an hour in the night, it's going to be okay. You know, we'll be able to, you kind of run on a bit of adrenaline that next day if you end up having a bad night the night before.
And one more question, is the target 8 hours or is 7 hours okay?
There's a great quote out there about sleep duration, predicts all-cause mortality. It's a pretty morbid quote. But the amount of hours of sleep that you get, it's definitely more is better, right? Not more being 12 or 14, but 7, 8, 9, if you can kind of get that anchoring of that constant sleep duration. I have had people ask me before, well, what if I get 3 and then I get 3 and then I get 4? Right? That duration is altogether connected without wakes. But I think without focusing on the duration of the time, I'll still cycle back to, I think you really need to first look at how can you set that schedule? How can you go to bed at the same time and wake at the same time and start teaching your body that first before you focus on how many hours? I think that's a better angle to take before you get stuck in numbers.
That's great. So Bindi, can you recap for us the 5 steps?
Yeah, of course. So your best project, right? You're going to focus on one task at a time. So pick that one sleep thing that's coming up for you that's a challenge and focus on that first. Look at your peak productivity hours, i.e. when are you sleeping the best? Listen to your body and have a look at how you can start to build that schedule around your best sleep. Minimize those distractions when you're winding down at night, turn off the pings and the chimes. And then if you can leverage some technology, whether it is fancy all night looking at you sort of apps and technology, or even just setting an alarm to kind of remind you to start winding down. And of course, that scheduling piece. Anchor your sleep with the same time waking and the same time going to bed as best you can.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing all your wisdom. Our next episode is going to be on having a different mindset. Can you give us a little teaser on what we're going to be talking about next?
Sure. So we're going to have a look at 3 ways actually to change the way that you think. So we're going to dive into our mindset and have a look at, what's our experience and how can we actually rewire our brains, actually rewire it. I always have to repeat that because it's crazy that you can make new connections in your brain by changing the way that you think. So we're going to get into that into our next episode.
Thanks, Bindi. You're awesome. For our listeners out there, if you enjoyed, we're going to put all the steps into the show notes. And also, we're going to link to our new program that we have at Learn It, which is called
our Small Steps Wellness Program. Well, you will dive in deep to your sleep challenges and you'll find some very interesting and enlightening information in there that you might not have heard of before. So,
thank you, Bindi. So, check that out, everybody. And until next time, stay curious and keep learning. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.